say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. It's today, Tuesday afternoon. We're pre-recording. It's beautiful outside.
Oh, it's a gorgeous day.
You can't help but be in a good mood, though.
It's beautiful weather.
Crystal clear. It's perfect. And there's less pollen today. Did you notice?
Yeah. You know why I noticed? Because I'm feeling better. Yesterday, I was feeling really lousy.
You look better.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you don't look so good.
These are the days that I say feel like they have fabric softener in the air.
Yeah.
It's just that perfect
downy
temperature.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
It's a downy spring day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, conversely, how about a rainy, windy Monday morning?
Ugh.
You know, after a great weekend, too, and you kind of come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't care who you are or what you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to affect your mood, I think, to some extent.
That's tough.
You know, we have somebody here. I won't say who it is, but this person, he's just kind of a depressive personality. He's a great guy, and he takes medicine for it, and he's fine. But I guess because of his personality or whatever it is, he likes those days when it's cold and rainy, and he's not quite on his game on a beautiful day like today where there's not a cloud in the entire sky. Now, tell me that's not a little bit.
Yeah.
I like a rainy, drizzly day photographically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, when I do my outdoor photography, my landscapes outdoor, which I love to do.
We don't talk about that enough.
We haven't.
You know?
Well, it's a radio show. It's hard to see photography.
That's a beautiful picture. Folks, you'll have to take my word for it. No, but you're a photographer.
Oh, thank you.
He is.
Thank you, Jeff. I have a lot of fun doing it, and I'm always tinkering with something new. But it's photography. There are so many different types. It's important to differentiate. I like landscape photography. I was inspired by Ansel Adams when I was young and the beautiful black and whites that he did. And all I wanted to do was to do black and white landscape photography that looked even close to the way that his photographs looks.
All right. So if you weren't a periodontist, do you think you'd have been a photographer?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. As a matter of fact, we touched on this once before. Photography is actually an art and a science. And so is dentistry.
All right.
Dentistry is truly an art and a science, and it's about 50-50 of each.
You do a lot of cosmetic work.
Yes. Well, that's a lot of art.
It's the artistry.
That's a lot of art in what we do.
So isn't it possible that you could have a dentist, say a periodontist, or somebody who's who specializes in this kind of thing, you know? And they're very good mechanically, but they just don't have that flair. The certain creativity. Mm-hmm. They can't visualize certain things that they would need to and make it happen, if you know what I mean?
The best dentists are more creative and more artistic. There's no question about it.
No question. Because I've worked for both.
Because you can learn the science.
Yes.
And you can learn the technical stuff. But there's something about having some creative license and thinking outside the box that I don't think you could teach.
There are some great pictures in your office of your work.
Well, thank you.
Beautiful framed work. Was there one at Grand Canyon, was it? Where was that?
There are a few from different canyons.
Arizona?
New Mexico? Yeah.
How about the one on the train? That's my favorite.
Is it?
Yeah, because that's the room where I got my implant, so that photo's special to me.
the ghost self-portrait.
What was the deal with you told me how you did that. It was amazing.
The camera was on a tripod, and it was a 30-second exposure, and I walked into it, sat down on a chair, and I was real still for 10 or 15 seconds of the 30, and then I stood up and then went behind the camera and turned the shutter off.
And it looks like a ghost was sitting there.
Yes.
And that's what you wanted.
Yes.
And it came out exactly the way you wanted it.
I tried it one time, and that's exactly the way it came out.
Wow.
But see, that's the combination of the art and the science. He knew how to work his equipment. He mm-hmm. knew he needed a long exposure time, but he saw the picture in his mind.
Wow.
That's a good point. It's true.
So when you look at a person and you look at their mouth, I mean, you're not just looking for cavities or caries, whatever they call them, or you're looking maybe strictly for periodontal disease. Mm-hmm. Aren't you taking kind of an overall view?
Oh, yeah.
Global view, whatever you want to call it.
Symmetry, proportions,
shading. I'm OCD, so I'm very big on symmetry. I got to tell you. I had a landscape guy put some bushes in. And he's the same way. Everything had to be exactly, you know, this guy should have been a picture framer because everything was exactly the same height, the same distance apart, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. I'm not sure how creative he is, but he definitely had the symmetry going for himself. So, I like to tell our audience from time to time that I happen to be a patient of yours, Dr. Edelstein. And I also like to say that, you know, it's not like I was your patient and so I asked you to come and do a dental show. You actually started, we did choose you to do this dental show, but I wasn't your patient at the time. And I think by the end of the second show, I turned to you and I said, I think I need to see you.
You did.
Well, the thing is, there are a lot of dentists out there.
Yes.
You know, I know Carol, who works for you, she even said to me, well, she lives like up in Ackworth or someplace, which is a long way from your Buckhead office. And she said that she, you know, probably passes 50 dental offices on her way to work, but she wouldn't work anywhere else because, well, she wants to work for the best. So, and that's the way, you know, we're talking about my mouth and I'm not getting any younger. And we're learning increasingly mm-hmm. that so many systemic diseases mm-hmm. originate in the mouth, specifically the gums. What do we call it? Ground zero, mm-hmm. Sue?
Yeah. No, you called it ground
you
zero.
Well,
it
that's
ground
true.
Zero.
Well, it speaks the truth. I'm not going to argue with that. But so I had my implant February 11. We're pre-recording today. It's April 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's great. I don't even notice it's there.
Oh, perfect.
And when you tell me I'm ready, you're going to send me over to somebody to actually yes. put a crown on there.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's mm-hmm. exactly what will happen. Mm-hmm.
And you've chosen the person. It's a lady. I forget her name.
Me too.
She's in Cobb County, you know, in mm-hmm. Marietta. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I trust that, you know, you're going to send me to somebody really good.
Perfect.
Okay? Because mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, from the Yellow Pages or something or something online, I could never pick
No.
a dentist. I mean, it's way too important. So this
or,
kind of...
Or a dentist on a list.
I was going to say, this begs a discussion...
Don't pick them that way.
...about managed care.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It's interesting how many people think that they could pick a dentist from a list, a PPO list. And I want to talk for a minute about what PPO means. A PPO... by definition means preferred provider organization. But in reality, there's nothing really preferred other than a discount. It's a discount list. That's the name should be changed from PPO to discount list.
Mm-hmm.
That's in reality what it is, plain and simple.
These are the ones who will
yes.
accept that discount.
That's the only criteria.
Yes.
And work at a fraction of what it would normally.
Yes.
The only yes. criteria. And what I have found is that it changes the nature of the practice. You've mentioned a lot of times that there's no wait time in my office. Well, that's because we put extra time aside in case we run a little bit over here and there. If we had to discount or give a deep discount on our services, we wouldn't be able to do that. We would double book.
I hate that.
We would need extra people.
You go and you're waiting forever. And
Or we'd you know. Put less time aside. There's an office near us where the practice changed ownership and they went from a fee for service practice to one that has much more managed care, i.e. they're on some of the lists. And a mutual patient came in to our office that needed some services from us and said that he didn't think he was going to go back because he was informed that the amount of time that was put aside for a cleaning went from an hour to 45 minutes now, uh-huh. because that's what the
couldn't afford
that's
it.
What the management made the office do. Because now they're giving discounts, and now they can't put as much time aside. So I think the whole name preferred provider organization is a misnomer. It's a discount list.
Do other dental professionals agree with you in general? About managed care.
Oh, I'm sure most do.
Just uniformly.
Some may not, or they may not admit it openly, but physicians do too, actually. Any physician I talk to has been very frustrated over their whole deal with managed care. And they've had managed care much longer than dentistry has, and they're fees have been driven lower and lower and lower. We just had a patient in, a urologist, in the other day, and he said that his fee structure has gone down 50% from where it was 3 years ago, just based on managed care.
So you know intuitively from that it's the patients are going to, they're not going to get the standard of care that they were getting before.
It's impossible.
The math doesn't work.
It's impossible unless someone loses money, unless the practice is destined to go out of business, and some will. Now the other thing we want to talk about today is the concept of usual and customary rate, because if someone in dentistry on a PPO plan chooses to go to someone of let's say not on the discount list, then the insurance companies have a vehicle called a usual and customary rate. And that's also a complete misnomer, because there's nothing usual and customary about the way they get that. The way they get that usual and customary rate, it could be a schedule from 10 years earlier. It could be
10 years earlier.
It could be they don't tell you. And what would you do, Jeff, if I told you that the usual and customary rate that is set by insurance companies, it's a schedule of benefits for different procedures, can vary as much as 50, 60, 70% from one insurance company to the other. And it could vary tremendously, maybe 30, 40, 50% within the same insurance company based upon the specific policy that someone has.
So what's what's usual and customary about that?
It's fiction. And what would you do, Jeff, if I told you that the insurance companies don't have to tell anyone how they got that?
Wow.
It's proprietary information. They are not bound by the same rules that everyone else goes by. The rules that govern everyone else is the Federal Trade Commission. And they are completely exempt from Federal Trade Commission guidelines. And I think, Sue, you wanted to spend a few minutes on that, because this is a tragic problem that we have in society, that people don't know that. And I know Congress has been trying from time to time to try to not allow the insurance companies to maintain their exclusive ability to be exempt from FTC guidelines, but every attempt has failed over the past 60 years.
Will the Affordable Care Act have any effect on this?
Well, people were hoping that was going to be addressed, and there would be some clarity as far as what that usual and customary rate means, but it was completely avoided.
Isn't there an American Dental Association, some sort of body?
Yes.
Okay, aren't they screaming? Aren't they? What are they doing?
Yes. Well, they are. Every time they scream, there's pushback from different governmental agencies or different. There might be a little case here or there, and it's voted down because quite frankly, they have this exclusive ability to be exempt from the guidelines that everyone else plays by.
And have been since 1945.
Since 1945. How did it start, Sue? You have some information about that.
Yeah, it started let me go back on
this. This is how insurance companies became exempt from the rules of the road that every other business plays by.
Yeah, it was intended back in the 40s when the concept of an insurance company was new. It was intended to assist these newly established insurance companies by permitting data to be shared among the insurance companies. What it's morphed into is a conglomerate, a Ma Bell, one cable company. I mean, they truly own this arena, and they're protected by this act, which has not been able to be repealed despite individual states' attempts. No one seems to be able to penetrate this. It's the last standing bastion of
monopoly.
A monopoly, yeah, if you will.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, though, I want to ask you about insurance. Do most people have insurance? Don't answer just yet.
Okay.
But think about that. And if so, I mean, who is it through? You know, I know that when I worked at the company I work with now, you know, it's my company. We have medical insurance. The only dental insurance we really have is if we purchase it separately, like an Aflac or whatever. And, you know, certainly there are limitations on that as well. But we'll talk about that when we come back. It's a serious subject. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Office located at 2045 Peachtree Road. right across the street from Piedmont Hospital and next door to the Darlington Apartments. So when are they going to be torn down then?
I don't know. I thought this year sometime.
You're the
Darlington
expert.
The Darlington expert.
Well, you've been in Atlanta longer than either of us, I think.
Yeah.
I have the number on the population sign,
by the way.
What is it?
Did you look?
6 million.
6442 and some change.
6442.
6,442,000 and a few hundred.
Wow.
That's the latest figure.
6.4.
Well, almost 6.5 million people.
And they'd be very foolish if they get rid of that sign.
Oh,
when they.
It's an icon.
It's got to keep it. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Straight ahead.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
This is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. A beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We're pre-recording. That's just a gorgeous day outside.
Mm-hmm.
So great day to go to the dentist. You know,
it is.
You know, you both have a really good sense of humor about it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, for a lot of us, it's very stressful to go to the dentist. You know, I don't know what, if anything, I stressed about when I had my implant, because it was nothing. I mean, it was.
Well, by design.
Mm-hmm.
We planned it that way. We put extra time aside. We used extra strong anesthetics because we can.
These things don't just happen. It's not happenstance. This is all planned.
No.
It's all planned.
We work hard to make that happen.
Yep.
And make sure that it goes right. And, yeah. I tell you, you know, Sue, you gave me a ibuprofen.
Yeah.
And I didn't need anything beyond that. You did prescribe something for me, like
just
amoxicillin. Something, I forget what it was, some kind of painkiller, but I never filled it.
Well, that's what we
yeah,
want.
It was wonderful.
And that's why we gave you a complimentary ibuprofen in the office, so that you had zero discomfort when the Novocaine wore off.
Nothing.
By the way, I didn't use regular Novocaine. I used something a little stronger, a little more expensive, that penetrates better, and to ensure that you had zero discomfort.
Well, I'm all for that.
Well, that's...
I appreciate
if we were
that.
A managed care dental office, we might not could afford yeah, that. More expensive and better for you anesthetic.
If we were on a discounted list, I can tell you right now, I'm a compassionate guy, but I would use regular lidocaine. I wouldn't use the top shelf, if you will, lidocaine. The top shelf formulation.
Yeah.
That's stronger, better, lasts longer, more profound, but mm-hmm. costs more.
All right, so I had an MRI a few years ago, and thank God everything was okay. But then, you know, I got the bill. And the bill said that the charge for the MRI was, let's say it was a couple thousand bucks. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that, then there was some notation there that said that our agreed deal with the insurance company, I mean, it was like $700.
That was discounted, yes.
To like 700 bucks.
Yes, that was
and
that.
And then they said in your portion, you know, it was like 200 bucks or
right.
whatever it was.
That was the discount that the insurance company negotiated. That's what we're talking about. That was a discount list.
I just wonder, are they going to
medicine? Medicine is a lot different than dentistry. And the reason for that is I thought about this on the way in because I knew we were going to be talking about this today. The fee structure is completely different in medicine. And, you know, in dentistry, if you think about it, in dentistry, all the testing is in the dental office. All the supplies are in the dental office.
Mm-hmm.
All the laboratory costs are borne by the dental office for the one procedure. The operating room is the little dental operatory. That's included in the fee. In medicine, it's not. You know, your physician that wanted you to have the MRI, the billing didn't go through him. It went through a separate outsourced.
It did.
Outsourced agency. Okay, that's not like that in dentistry. Everything goes through the one office, the one procedure. And because of that, the fee structures are completely different, and dentistry cannot afford to have the fee reduction in the terms of discounts that medicine can because the overhead is so much higher. The cost
is all right there in your office.
It's all right there in the office. And it's kind of, in a way, from my understanding, it's frustrating for insurance companies to not understand why dentists can't do the same type of discounts that medicine can without having some sort of reduction in quality. But that's the reality of the
case. Right, the business model doesn't work.
It's a different business model with a different fee structure.
What percentage of your time would you say you're spending, your office, let's say, either collecting money or filing insurance forms, you know.
Well, as a courtesy, we will.
Billing people.
As a courtesy, we will help people maximize whatever insurance they have. Because even though it tends not to be comprehensive, we will help them get whatever benefit they are owed. And I'd venture to say we have two or three people doing some of that, but all in all, I'll bet you it's one full-time position.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just chasing down mm-hmm. people's dental insurance benefit. I'd probably say it averages out to one full-time position and a highly educated and specialized position at that.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Now, given the fact that the insurance is so meager, mm-hmm. as we've been discussing, your office does a lot of things to try to ameliorate this situation for the patient.
We do whatever we can to help folks afford what they need and what they deserve to become healthy, save their teeth, and enjoy the quality of life that they deserve and have good, healthy oral tissues and structures. So we will do whatever we can to help people do that.
Well, you have your new patient special. I took advantage of that.
The new patient special is huge. We wanted to eliminate a barrier for people coming to see us, but that first visit with x-rays and diagnostic materials and diagnostic testing, we wanted that to be a very reasonable turnkey. This is how you get started. You can come to us for a first or second opinion, and we made it extremely reasonable. And quite frankly, Jeff, it's way below our cost in doing it.
So you don't make a dime off that. You lose money.
Oh, I lose. We lose a good bit of money, but we do it as a service to the public.
And I know you, Doc, and you're happy when you can say to a patient, "Hey, you know something? You don't need to get this done. You don't need to get that done." As the result of our testing here, we found that you're in pretty good shape. You know, just
it happens. Sure.
What other kinds of things? I mean, you have interest refinancing for a year.
Yes.
For people. Well, that's wonderful if you don't have to pay interest. I love that.
Interest-free financing for a year is something that we offer. It's a wonderful benefit, and it makes it easy for patients.
Just get it paid off within a year, and you got a year to pay it off.
Well, actually, there is interest. We pay the interest.
Okay.
So the office, the office will pay 10% to help a qualified patient get interest-free financing to them. So we actually pay the 10%. Do you believe that we'll do that?
Yeah, and it's very expensive for you to do business.
Yes,
you know, it's to operate an office, doing it the way that you do it, the right way. It's expensive.
Well, you know, it is. There's no two ways about that. But you know, we do some of these things as just a benefit to our patients to help them get what they need.
You know, I know people who sometimes, you know, they resent the doctors, you know, that you make too much money or whatever it is, blah, 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 blah. See, my view is you have a skill and a lot of experience. How long have you been practicing? 30 years?
31.
31 years, okay. So you have a skill that very few people have.
You can't tell from my gray hair, can you?
But you have a skill that very few people have. You have a heck of a lot of experience. You have great credentials, and I mean, not only do you teach at the dental school level, but I mean, you went to Cornell, Penn, Emory, et cetera, et cetera. You deserve to make a good living. You know, it's Sue, you want to opine on that? I mean, doesn't...
I totally agree. I think in the service care industry, you want to be taken care of. It's not an assembly line. Everybody's different. Everybody's health is different. Their reaction to their health is different. And you can't be an assembly line healthcare provider. You can't be an assembly line dentist, hygienist, periodontist. And you do want to have top-notch service. It makes a difference. You'll end up double paying for it.
Yeah.
You will. We see it over and over and over. We see people come to us that have been on discount plans. I just saw a girl the other day. We're converting a tooth to an implant. She paid for a crown and a root canal 5 years ago by the discount dentist. She just picked somebody on her list, and here she is 5 years later, redoing it, converting it to an implant because it wasn't done right.
Can you often tell if they've been to a discount dentist? Can you look in there and tell whether
it
looks like a schlock job?
I would never say, because I cannot say, that someone that that is on a discounted list or a PPO list is not a, as good a dentist. But what I can say is someone on that list is not in a position to do
right.
good dentistry.
Even if they want to. And they can. Well, even if they can.
If they want to, you know, if you think about it, and if the reimbursement rate is such, they can't use the best labs, they can't have the best staff, they can't put extra time aside, maybe they can't afford on a regular basis, if need be, to redo something.
The contract they sign dictates how they can and can't practice.
Yeah,
it sets up the limitations.
There's nothing wrong.
I'm sure their hearts are in the right place.
Yes,
it's not about that.
The heart can be in the right place. The credentials could be perfect.
The contract does not allow them.
Yeah, you know, I've got to tell you, if I was in one of those contracts, I would be making the same decisions.
Mm.
I would have to. It would dictate to me that where I have to cut corners. Where I can and hopefully have the same outcome. I say hopefully, because if I put less time aside for something, if I have to use, let's say, we talked about this before. We only use name brand implants, but if my fee were cut to where below my cost in doing the services, I'd have to use generic implants or implants
wow.
made in China.
Wow.
That may or may not have the same quality control and standards that the implants made here have.
Or even be around 5 or 6 or 7 years. So if that person, God forbid, needs a repair or something done to it, who's around to help us? Where's that rep from that company?
You know, and you've said, well, we're going to take a break when we come back, though. Some of these folks come out of dental school hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yes.
So I got to, no, you did not, but I got to believe that somebody coming out of school today who owes $200,000 or even as much as $300,000, right there, the system's, something's wrong, because you're set up to fail when that happens, because you're going to have to do what you've got to do
sure.
to get yourself out of debt
sure.
and practice dentistry, which is something that you've spent a lot of time and effort
right.
Doing. And so we're going to take a break. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Did you
take organic chemistry in
college? Yes.
Okay. You deserve to make a good living. You probably got an A in it. You deserve to make a good living.
After the break, remind me, and I'll mention something, a dream that I had after I took organic chem.
At Cornell University. No
yes.
Way. All right, folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. It happens to be my periodontist. Now, I happen to, okay, and I'm going to, you know, try to say this as carefully as possible. I choose to use you as my general dentist, excuse me, because of my particular situation, my age, things like that. I want your eyes checking out everything that's going on, from the most minor to the major, the most rudimentary things to the most complicated things. And that's just, and I feel like I'm in very, very good hands in doing that. So visit mygumdoc.com, folks. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
This is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, I've joked before that my wife and I always have this little thing where we say that whatever TV stations we watch must be old people, because almost all the commercials are this stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Adult diapers and stuff for Alzheimer's disease, arthritis, you know, this, that, and the other thing. You know, what is Xarelto? Is that for arthritis? I don't even know what it's for, you know. So you see a commercial mm-hmm. for Xarelto, you know, with Arnold Palmer or whoever's on there, you know. And then in the next break, you know, 10 minutes later, there's a law firm who's going to sue Xarelto for you if you took Xarelto and you're not. Did you ever see that?
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. But I also see dentists doing commercials, you know, like for some big national thing, you know, so for a given mouthwash. You know,
yeah,
and he's sitting
yeah,
there
yeah.
in his white
yeah.
coat
yeah,
or her mm-hmm. white coat,
right?
You know, like an expert talking about this, that, and the
yeah.
other thing. Do you see these?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
How do you feel about that? Do you ever say, like, geez, you know, to us laymen, It looks very, you know, it's got the white coat on.
It looks impressive.
It's God, yeah.
Tell it's me. Too bad that a mouthwash, a toothpaste,
yes,
doesn't cure periodontal disease. Yeah. It does not.
It says
they'll
it kills,
make you believe it.
It says it kills 99.9%
of the
germs.
They'll show the teeth with the scrubbing bubbles going all around the neck of the tooth.
It hardly even makes a dent.
If it were so magical, we would not be so busy.
But it's he's
not.
There with his white coat. He looks, this is God himself. You know what I'm saying?
It does not. It is not. No, it does not even make a dent.
Hey, can I ask you, this is very rudimentary again. Sure. But when you go to back to it, you know, so, you know, the first thing that I do is I brush my teeth. I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth. That's the most rudimentary thing I do. And then at night, before I go to bed, I brush my teeth. I don't even know if I'm doing that correctly sometimes. Or do I have the right toothbrush? Do these things make a big difference?
Yeah, sure. Sue, why don't you take this?
Well, they can. They can't cure gum disease once you have it. And we know from statistics, under the age of 70, 50% of the people have gum disease. Over the age of 70, 3/4 of the population.
Wow.
So for that 50% and that 75%, the toothbrush, the toothpaste, and the mouthwash are not going to help. You need treatment. If you don't have gum disease or you're in maintenance, then the ball's back in your court. That's what we always tell our patients. Right now, the ball's in our court to help make you well. But once we get you well, then yes, your toothbrush, how well you brush, how well you floss, how well you may use a special tool that we give you will make all the difference in the world. But if the bacteria is there, the pockets are open, you could pour bleach in your mouth. I mean, name it. I don't care. You could swish with an antibiotic every day.
Actually, your hygienists actually helped me with all this. I remember last time I was there, Mandy.
Yeah.
She just had a baby, didn't she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
But they, you know, this is a good hygienist who tells you these rudimentary important things, that the very basics that you need to do. I mean, let me ask you this, and again, I'm digressing here, but am I okay with the regular toothbrush, or should I have some kind of an electric device, you know, Sonicare or whatever?
Yeah, those things are fine, but you shouldn't be in a cookie cutter mindset. I'm a hygienist. I don't own an electric toothbrush, and I never will. I'll spend $100 on a different pair of shoes. I've tried them. They take longer to do, and I know that I do a good job with the free toothbrush that I just got mailed in the mail from some company who wants me to try it. I don't have to do it. There are some patients in our practice that we take off an electric toothbrush. They may have thin gums, and perhaps that power is just a little too aggressive for their thinning, receding tissues. And there are some people that are spotless. They're on an electric toothbrush. I'm not about to change it. One size does not fit all.
You know, when I use a regular one, you know, because you're looking at a guy who's full of rage here, you know, over many years. So, I mean, I'm really scrubbing that thing. I don't know if I'm doing a damn
If you had an electric toothbrush, you would be scrubbing on top of the power
That's right.
of the electric toothbrush.
That's right. That's exactly right. But it's just a basic question, you know, that people want to know whether, you know, because you see on TV these advertisements for, you know, Sonicare or whatever they are. Well,
but it's like the patient.
What are they selling?
Yeah.
What do they want? They want everyone to buy it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they really are selling a false sense of security. You know, again, it's great if you're healthy and it's great if you're past gum disease treatment. But 50% of the population has gum disease. An electric toothbrush is not going to heal that.
So we're talking about, well, managed care. It's huge in the industry. Aren't you glad you're not in a managed care practice?
Oh, gosh, yes. My goal is to help people have the best experience and the best outcome. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I was in managed care. I mean, I'm being perfectly frank and honest to you two folks
yes,
here.
That's true.
And the listening audience. I would not be able to fulfill those two goals.
And yet you've said that many of the doctors in a managed care situation are very competent. It's not their fault.
No, they're just not in a position to do the best dentistry possible. And it, because of the constraints on them. And I feel sorry for some of them that are in that situation and are frustrated. And I don't blame them. I was too. I was on, you know, back when Bill Clinton first got in and Hillary was going to change the health care, universal health care for everyone, there was a lot of debate. And frankly, I became a little scared because they were saying that if doctors or dentists didn't join a group And
if you didn't become a preferred provider,
you were going to go out of business. So I signed up for two of the best ones, and frankly, there was one procedure. Let me give an example of one procedure. There was one procedure that I did where it was a regenerative procedure, and the material itself, by the time I had to buy it, get it shipped, have inventory, different sizes, it cost me about $200 a unit that was used on per patient. The reimbursement for that was $135.
Well, it doesn't add up.
How many times can I do that? Oh, and there wasn't any extra time. There weren't any extra reimbursement given for the extra time that it took to utilize the material itself. So you didn't only lose money on the material, you lost money on implementing the material and providing that service. So it was this huge loser. How many times do I do that until I'm trying to make decisions? Do I do it anyway, knowing ahead of time that if I do enough of these, I'll be out of business? Or do I not do it and know that that's really not in the best interest for the patient?
So what was the upshot?
What do you mean?
In other words, you signed on with these two.
I signed on, and I became increasingly frustrated with the decisions that I'm mentioning now. Until I've signed off. You have, I think, 60 days or so, 90 days, and you get on or off. It's not any lifetime commitment. So the best day in my life was when I decided that I just can't make this work. I can't keep doing this. And I'm either making decisions where I'm cheating the future of the practice and will be out of business, or I'm cheating the patient. And either way, I felt guilty for patients or for us. Mm. And I tried it for about 6 months or so, and then I got off the plans, and now my goal is to treat patients the way I would treat a family member, period.
Are there certain things you can do to help defray their costs? Can you give them a discount if they're getting multiple implants?
We have.
Are there things you can do such as that?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We have.
If people get more than one implant, we provide a discount. As a matter of fact, if I do four implants, I usually charge for three.
Yeah.
How often do you do four? Is that common?
It happens. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not one size fits all, like Sue was mentioning.
But you'll do the same thing for gum grafting. If we're going to be in there and set aside some time and the patient is like, I really want to do a lot, well, then the price per gum graft starts to come down because we don't have to set the room up again. We don't have to set aside another day. We don't have to set aside 20 minutes on the front end to make them numb and another 20 minutes on the back end to give them their home care instructions afterwards and how to care for it. So there are things that we can do all the time.
Absolutely.
I mean, just today we saw a patient for a consultation and a CT scan, and we actually wrote off her exam fee of $130 and just charged her for the scan. We're going to be doing some nice treatment for her. She's been a good patient, and we can take those liberties from time to time.
You get into a situation, though, where the patient has a lot of problems, a lot of things wrong, you know, and in your honest view, they're going to need to get this, that, and the other thing done, and it's going to cost money. It's going to cost a lot of money. And there's, a moral dilemma because you feel you don't want the patient thinking that you're trying to get every last nickel away from them, but they've perhaps neglected their mouth, or maybe they just, for one reason or another, just have a lot of problems in their mouth. And it's going to be it's got to get paid for somewhere. So isn't that kind of a dilemma that you face in a sense?
Yeah, it is. What we would do in situations like that is we would do it in phases. We would do it in small, excuse the pun, small bites at a time.
A good one.
You like that?
A good one, yeah.
Clever.
Little bites out of it.
Well, one bite at a time.
That's good.
Right. So we would do it in phases where we can help a patient achieve their goal by taking a little, you know, it's one step at a time. And again, we would help by, you know, maybe some interest-free financing that we would pay, as I mentioned, or either that, or we could take 10% off if it's over a certain amount.
And we try to do little things. We pay for patients' parking. You know, it's a little thing.
You know
thing.
Something? I love that.
It's just a little thing. If you've got to come to our office maybe three, four times a month, maybe you're having multiple visits with follow-ups, That's $3, $5, $7 every time you come. It's a little thing, but we try every step.
And I also know, I also happen to know that you'll validate me even if I go to the dermatologist in your
Edit that out.
not the dermatologist.
That is such a funny story, though.
Edit that out.
For those of you who aren't aware of it, so you have a patient who happened to go to a dermatologist in your building. She's also your patient, but she came to you. She came that day to go to the dermatologist, who doesn't validate the parking.
Correct.
So she went to your office to get validated. I thought that took some.
You know, the whole, Jeff,
that's
the whole crux
good
of,
way to put it.
You know, it is dental care does have fees associated with it, and they seem to be high. If the health insurance companies were really operating at a level where people could get what they needed, our fees wouldn't seem so high. Mm. They actually kept pace with inflation. But it's so out of touch because the health insurance companies that have been protected by this act since the 1940s make it seem like, what? Your dentist charges $2,000 for a crown? Well, if you go to this discount dentist, the preferred provider, he'll only, they're constantly trying to railroad people. They're not operating under antitrust laws.
Talk about lack of free trade. That violates trade.
Yes.
But I think a lot of it is ignorance on the part of the patients too, because they have this. Because I know that a dentist is not a dentist is a dentist. You know, there's a tremendous variance in abilities and experience from one to the other.
I would call it wishful thinking.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say ignorance because many of these people that make those decisions are actually rather smart. I think it's wishful thinking. And they feel that there's some sort of standard of care that someone would have to abide by, but in reality, there really isn't. There is a standard of care that they should abide by. There's a standard of care that people should use the best labs. They should use the best quality materials, but no one's forcing them to do that.
Mm. And dental health insurance industry does not care about standard of care.
Isn't that something? Yeah, that's terrible. We're going to talk about that some more when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist located right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Happens to be my periodontist. 2045 Peachtree Road. And visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And let me remind our audience that you have your new patient special. $650 worth of services for just $129. And like you said earlier in the show, Dr. Edelstein, you don't make any money off that $129. You lose money.
Oh, I lose a few hundred easily,
but it's worth it for the patient to be able to come in and have you look at them, do the tests that are necessary to be done, and then find out.
Well, I mean, when their dental health insurance only gives them $1,500 a year to spend on their health, and when we do a full set of x-rays or a CT scan, a bacterial slide, and a full exam, and that may come to $400, $500, $600, and we've already utilized half of their yearly allotment just on the exam, we knew we had to do something to help. I think that's probably one of the biggest amazing things that we've done in the last year or so to help. Think about that. We're giving away $300, $400, $500 of x-rays.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Unfortunately, we are out of time, and I know that managed care is it's a subject that's very dear to you, Dr. Edelstein, Sue Skipper. It's a problem in the industry, and
it is.
I just hope that whoever our next president is, regardless of which party it is, can try to do something to ameliorate this situation. Periodontal disease in particular is at epidemic proportions, and I don't think it's getting better. I think it's getting worse. Folks, if you're over about 35 years of age, there's a very good chance that you have periodontal disease, and it doesn't get better on its own. It gets worse. Visit the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. And Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.